Bismillah, welcome back to another episode of Honesty Talk. In this episode, we are going to be speaking about grief and loss. It's a heavy topic. When we think about grief and we think about loss, we tend to associate it with death. Grief can be felt at the loss of anything that holds significance, at anything that's meant something to you. I think it's going to be an emotional episode. I'm already getting emotional. As just prior to recording this episode, I received some difficult news. I may talk about it if I feel comfortable to, but there have been quite a few tears prior to the start of this episode, but subhanAllah, qadar Allah wa ma sha'a fa'al, that we're talking about grief and loss, and I've just lost. And if I feel comfortable, I will speak about it. But grief and loss, we talk about it on, it can be related to so many things. It's not necessarily just death. You can lose someone you love and that person is still alive. You can lose your health, you can lose your wealth, you can, yeah.
The thing about grief is that often it's a lonely journey to navigate, because everyone's response to grief is different and everyone's experience of grief is different. And so can feel really lonely, even if you have people around you, because no one truly feels what you are feeling. No one truly gets it within you, what that and how much that thing, person, dream meant to you. So even if there's a collective loss, everyone's connection and experience of that loss is very personal, and no one will feel it and the depth of it like you can, you know. But what I often say to people is that feel it however you need to feel it, because that's okay. There's no need to justify, there's no need to make it anything else. How you are feeling it and what you are experiencing, you're completely valid in experiencing it. Allow yourself to feel it and not repress. The worst thing you can do is to shut it down, because that emotion is going to be locked and stored somewhere and it's going to come out some other way, you know. There's a saying that if the eyes don't weep, then the organs will. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's why we have so many ailments, physical ailments, because the body has said, I needed to cry this out, I needed to get this out, but you've held on to this. And if we allow ourselves to feel and not to hold meaning and to create meaning to what we're feeling, there's no shame, there's no shade, there's no nothing attached to it. You're human. You feel. And Allah has given us the ability to. So feel it. However it comes up, feel it. It's cool.
I think as I'm listening to you, and obviously having just received this bad news, when someone dies, there's an understanding of why someone is grieving, because there's a life, there are memories, there was a connection, there was a relationship that has suddenly come to an end. I think other types of loss, there's also a backstory. There's also a backstory. It's not just simply losing someone or something You know, you can hear that you've lost your health, become ill. You can have someone completely shut you out of their life. You can lose things that were precious to you. But there's a backstory to all of those things. There are memories, there are associations, there are emotions. And the loss of anything or anyone that was dear to you and held importance for you and was a part of your stability, your makeup, who you are as an individual, there needs to be grief. And like you said, that grief needs to come out. I think in the beginning, like, I'm in a state of shock at the moment. So I'm kind of like, I'm in a state of shock. I'm in a state of shock. And
coming to terms with the reality.
Yeah. And I think that's the stage of grief. Mm-hmm. And I think when you're in that stage, when it's just hit you and you're like, you know, like a rabbit in the headlights, you know, you're trying to make sense of what you've just heard, what you've just lost. You just need to be, I think. And you need to have people around you that will allow you to just be. And it's very important, I think, for us to embrace the stage that we're at. So for some, it's going to be like shock straight away, and then it might be turn into anger, and it might turn into feelings of sadness, and then and it's important for us to allow ourselves to simply be in that state. And if we're seeing someone that is grieving, whatever state they're in, it's important for us to hold space for that person.
I was listening to you talk about how grief around death is more socially like acceptable than other cases where we grieve for an idea or for something that didn't come into fruition or other kinds of losses. I think they have less support socially, and there may be like shame and guilt around feeling them. So I think building our awareness as a community around allowing people to grieve for the things that they lost, especially if it's something like, the things we talked about, the things you can't touch or really, you can't really put your finger on why, but there is a sense of loss and there is that grief in cases where it were a relationship or people were engaged and then it fell through and, you know, it's kind of like, well, they weren't yours in the first place. You never got married. It wasn't halal, whatever. And so it's like you're not allowed to feel the grief, but it is a reality and they are experiencing it. So that if you feel the grief, it's there. That's enough, you know? It doesn't have to be explained away. It is about holding space.
Mm. And regardless of what you're grieving, there are the stages of grief, regardless of what it is, whether that be an idea, whether that be plans that you had made, whatever it is, it's a case of you lost something. Something was taken away from you. Something that you were looking forward to or you had is no longer available to you. There is that sense of loss, you know, and to downplay it, it's sad actually when it's downplayed. Oh, but you'll get it. You can buy another one, or you can get another one, or that you can find another one, or you can make another one, whatever it might be. It's like, but wait, you're stripping me of my very human right to feel what I'm feeling right now. And it is challenging if you have people who are minimizing what you're feeling. Like, get over it. Or if you've been in a state of grief for a while, why are you still crying over that thing? Like, come on, like, it's time to move on. You're
But everyone has their time, and we can't put a timer to how long someone will grieve for. And grief can come in waves. You know, you're doing something normal, then the memory of that thing, that person, that whatever it is that you lost hits you. You're washing the dishes and you find that you're crying tears into the, you know, into the sink. And it's for us to hold space for ourselves to say, it's okay. It's okay. This is a wave. It too will pass. Mm. And to that space to just be and not to push it down. You should be grateful. Be grateful. You've got so much more, you know, just that ability to just be is so precious, subhanAllah.
Very, very important. I think, you know, as Muslims, sometimes we unintentionally, not from a place of malice, but unintentionally, we try to remind the person of what they still have at the moment of loss. And this is something that the Prophet, you know, has encouraged us to do, to look upon those who are in a worse position. However, at the moment someone has lost something, it's not the time to remind them of what they have at that time. At that time, it's important to honor the emotions they're experiencing at the thing that they've lost, even if that doesn't make sense to us. Mm. You know, like, for example, I remember years ago, a sister lost her cat. And she was distraught. I mean, like, as soon as the cat died, she was like really, really distraught. Now, back then, I didn't like cats. I like cats now. I have two, alhamdulillah, and I love them dearly. And I couldn't understand how someone could become that distraught over the death of an animal. Mm. But like I said, there's always a backstory, you know? And for her, she had been through so much. And her cat was her solace. Her cat was her comfort. And so it wasn't just the fact that the cat had died. It was her source of comfort, her source of stability, the memories, it all came together. So the loss of the cat signified so much more. It wasn't just the cat. And I think any type of loss, we have to look at the person and think, okay, I may not understand the loss, or you may still have this, or you may still have that, or that may be still going on for you. But that loss, obviously, if it's affecting the person, it means a lot to them because of what it signified. And just as people need to hold space, but we need to hold space for ourselves as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sitting here and I'm thinking about the loss that I've just heard about. And I'm a doer, right? I'm a doer. I'm a soldier. I'm a warrior. And I'm just thinking, okay, I've got to do this and I've got to do that. And I've got so many things coming up, but I need to hold space for myself. I can't rush this. I am going to have to, you know, leave HTT filming. I'm going to have to allow myself to feel through it. Because I think when we don't allow ourselves to process grief and to process loss, it will be prolonged. Mm-hmm. And it can actually manifest in physical, mental, emotional, psychological illnesses. Mm-hmm. And that goes with any type of, you know, any type of grief.
Mm.
It's very important, I think, for people to allow themselves to feel through, and for us that are witnessing someone else's loss, it's allowing them to feel through it too. Not saying, you know, oh, but you still got this, and oh, but no, but alhamdulillah, it wasn't as bad. No. Allow that person to feel, to really feel the loss, and to allow the emotions to emerge. And that level of empathy and that level of holding space is needed by others, and it's also needed by ourselves, for ourselves. So I'm actually sitting here thinking, okay, you know what, Alia? You need to allow yourself to feel whatever emotions come your way. And then, inshallah, you're gonna be okay. You're gonna get through this.
I think also, you know, in the what you mentioned about Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam recommending that we should look at the bright side or look at people who've been through big struggles. I think there's also internally there's an aspect of wanting to respond in the best way and wanting to say the right thing, pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, having the pressure on yourself to want to show up in the best way in the midst of a calamity. And thinking about how your natural response is to feel hurt, to feel disappointed, all of the everything that comes with the loss. And there is a little bit of a conflict there, because I'm feeling all of these things, but I want to respond in an ideal way and I want to show up in the best possible way. But in actuality, it's really going down right now for me. And I think that there's a little bit of pull, maybe from people as well, that they expect you to be, you know, the believer in the moment. But then also you're quite hard on yourself sometimes about wanting to do the right thing.
Yeah. That's so true, because actually for me, I was having that dialogue in myself and I was thinking, I was like, I had a moment of feeling sorry for myself. And then, and at the same time, it was like, okay, say, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. You know, and then, but this is dunya. And then this hurts so much. And it's like, honestly, it's like in the space of a moment,
you're here, there.
I was here, there, and everywhere. And it was just, it was like a bombardment of, it's like, that's what you said, that conflict. But I'm a Muslim. And a Muslim knows that Allah will test you, and Muslim knows.
You are human.
I know. It's conflict. It's a conflict of, I'm a believer and I'm going to deal with this with iman and with faith. I said I would not cry in this season, isn't it? Because I didn't cry in the last two seasons.
No, Chia.
You want to be a believer. You want to show Allah that you have faith and that you accept His decree, and you know and you believe that He knows what is best for you. At the same time, you feel it, you feel lost and you feel hurt, and you're struggling. But even with that struggle, I think you just need to let yourself be. Sometimes you need to gather yourself and say, yeah, I am that warrior, that believer, you know, I am that mu'min. And then you remind yourself and you say, alhamdulillah ala kulli hal, alhamdulillah for everything. And then if in the next second you're falling apart and you say, ya Allah, again, like, ya Allah, help me. It's okay too, I guess. Mm-hmm. And I think there's no right way. There's no right timing. There's no right way. You just need to allow yourself to go with the flow, so to speak.
Yeah, and I think that point about there's no right way, for anyone on the outside to know also that there's no right way. So we on the outside would want maybe to impose our way that we think we would deal with it, because we don't know. We're on the outside. It's only when you're in it that you know how you deal with grief. But on the outside, we can say, be like this, say alhamdulillah, da 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 da. But we're not feeling the pain. We haven't just been knocked off our feet and swept off our feet. We're standing, watching that person crumbling, right? And so for us to, those who aren't in the grief and watching someone who is going through the waves and the throes of grief, to know there is no right way. Their way right now is their way, and that's right for them. And yes, there is that thing of reminding one another and supporting one another to, and this is what I shared with you, that I made that dua, that Allah just guide us to say that which is pleasing to you, because it's easy. Why me? Why did you do this to Allah? I'm feeling that, and that's a very real feeling. And obviously me wanting the best for you and loving you, to just ask Allah to guide your tongue so that it's still in the line that He's pleased with, you know?
And that's very
good. But even then, I know the human nature is to want to F a mind, right?
You did not just say that.
I didn't say that.
But let's just be real out here, okay?
Let's be real, yeah.
You know, to F blind, to cry, to scream, to shout, to throw things. We're human. And I think this is what we have to remind ourselves. We are human first and then we're believers. Yeah. And there's a very real, visceral human experience of grief that transcends religious creed, like we all feel, regardless of the fact that we're Muslim or otherwise, we feel.
Yeah, and there is, I mean, the hadith also of the believer's patience is at the first strike. Mm. Like you feel like there's a performance review. Like I need to do this the first time the right way. And when you were talking about like having the patience, what it feels like to actually be patient with decree, like what does that look like? I thought of in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, is it Ayyub alayhi salam, when he says, you know, to Allah, you know, that Rabbi inni masani ad-dur, you know, this difficulty has befallen me, wa anta arhamur rahimin, and you're the most merciful. So in the middle of what's happening to him, he's going to Allah and saying to Allah, this is breaking me, this hurts me,
I need your mercy,
and you're merciful. You know, it's not, it wasn't this brave show, it wasn't bravado, it was hard. And that's about all he could say, was, you know, I'm really hurting, you know, and Allah who gave it to you knows that you're hurting. So what does that patience look like? It can look like having a really hard time.
Yeah. And not putting on a brave face.
No.
It's okay to go through the motions of it all. SubhanAllah. I know that Allah has got us, you know, in the midst of it, that He has got our back through it all. I think yes, subhanAllah, patience is not, we kind of think, yeah, like you said, at the onset of loss, difficulty, we kind of have this idea that patience is saying Alhamdulillah and feeling it. But look at Ayyub alayhi salam. He turned to his Lord in desperation. He felt he was feeling the pain. He was in a desperate state. And all he could ask for was for his mercy. And that is patience, like you said. I think what loss teaches you is that at the end of it all, we only have our souls. At the end of it all, it's us and Allah. And Allah can take this away. And then you have no breathing space and He takes that away. And you have no breathing space and He takes that away. And you think you're just about to start standing again and then He takes something else away. And you can't make sense of it because you think, yeah, Allah, I've just about started to breathe again. And then you're testing me again or you're taking something else away from me. And it doesn't make sense. And you just think, how can I get through this again and again and again? But then you think, Alhamdulillah for Islam, and Alhamdulillah for Iman, and Alhamdulillah for the understanding of who Allah is, because He takes away, but He gives. He tests you and He grants you ease, and He has a plan, and every type of loss is a part of your master plan, and you may not see it now. It may take you a long time to see it, but it's a part of your master plan. And we have a Lord who is merciful and compassionate and kind and wise and ever so loving. And I think it's important to remember that, and to remember that whatever He's taken away from you,
that it's coming from a Lord who isn't there to break you. It's coming from a Lord who knows where you've come from, what you've been through, where you are now, and who also knows what's coming. And maybe this loss is going to build you up. Maybe this loss is going to set you upon a different path. Maybe this loss is going to bring something together that parted. Maybe this loss touches upon someone else's qadr. Maybe it's your test and someone else's. Maybe it's your test and it's someone else's ease. There's so much to it, but ultimately it's deeply internalizing that my Lord sees me, and this is part of his plan, it's part of his decree, and I submit and I accept. And that's not easy. And you can say that now, and I'm saying it now, and in the next minute I'm going to fall apart. But that's okay, because like you said, we're human as well as being Muslim. Oh, we were not even going to speak about this topic in this season. But even that is a, you know, there's a plan behind everything. You're looking at me so deeply, Layinka.
Apologies.
Samaya. And that's, you know what? We're known to talk. And this is probably the first episode where there's been silence. And that makes me think about something. It makes me think silence is also necessary. I think sometimes when someone is experiencing loss and grief, we feel we need to fill in the void. Something has been lost, something has been taken away. We need to fill, we need to say, we need to do, we need to, you know what, sometimes that person just needs to sit in silence, and sometimes we need to hold space with them in silence, and sometimes we need to just be silent with our own thoughts and our feelings and just feel through it in silence. Mm-hmm. And I think that's incredibly powerful and necessary and needed and healing. And it's ironic that this is probably the first episode where there's been like silence and stillness.
I think the people's need to fill the silence and to fill the void often comes from their own discomfort and not knowing
what to do
and what to say. They want to show that they're supportive and they're unsure what that person might need. And so they just gun in with what they feel, what they can do best from within themselves. And sometimes it's just holding a hand and letting the person sob.
Yeah.
And saying nothing at all. Because someone's presence is enough often. Just the presence.
Yeah, just knowing that someone's there and allowing you to feel whatever you need to feel, even if it doesn't make sense, or even if you don't think it's something big, or, you know, you can't really see the full... Because the person that's experiencing the loss, like I said, it's not just the loss of that thing, it's the meaning associated, it's the backstory, it's the recent events, it's the whole, you know, the package. And we will never understand that because we haven't experienced that. But then it's just, I'm here. I'm here, I'm holding space. And that presence sometimes is all that's needed. I think like as this has obviously just happened. I mean, this year has been loss upon loss upon loss for me. So this has kind of hit me hard because it literally has been loss and no gap, and then loss and no gap, and it's just like, again, I can't take anymore. But what's coming to mind for me, subhanAllah, this episode has actually been very healing for me. And I'm so glad that we did it, because what's come to mind for me is that I'm feeling comfort at the thought of just talking to my Lord and allowing myself to feel the emotions, knowing that Allah is seeing me and He will hold me and He will carry me through. Because I do not have a Lord that tests and leaves me to it.
Mm.
And in the example that you gave of Ayyub alayhi salam, the prophets knew that. That was evident in the dua that he made, that I'm in pain, I'm hurting, Ya Rabbi. And I'm in need of your mercy, because that's the only thing that's going to get me through.
Mm.
Final thoughts on grief and loss, Sumaya?
I offer silence.
For someone going through it, my last thoughts are, take your time and work your way through it. And it's your grief to work through however you need to, and know that your Lord is always there.
I think my thoughts are, we often want to do something. We have to do, you know, when we're in a situation, we need to do something to fix it. And when you're in a position of being in grief or having just experienced loss, you feel like you need to do to fix. But you don't need to do. You just need to feel, and you just need to be. And yeah, that would be my last thought. What an episode, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Do share your thoughts and feelings on the topic of grief and loss with us. And thank you for holding space as we did this episode. And we look forward to speaking with you again at the next episode of Honesty Talk, inshallah.
They are fallible and they will make mistakes, they will fall, they will sin, just like we will.
So when someone comes out and says, I own this, I made a mistake, we chalk it up to human fallibility, and people can, I think, come back from that.
Just because they know more, it doesn't make them any less susceptible to being human.
It takes a person to find themselves on the floor begging Allah for His mercy, or hoping that the people will forgive them and show compassion and be gentle, in order to not repeat that with another person.